Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. Praise the Lord. So thank you, praise team. That was a great, inspiring session. I love to clap your hands. Everyone, clap your hands. That was jumpy. Praise the Lord. So it is good to be in the house of the Lord. This is another day the Lord has made. And as the song, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made, says, I will rejoice and be glad. So this song led us into that. Rejoice and be glad. Celebrate the day. Amen? Yes. Amen? Amen? So today I'm honored to have this opportunity to share the word. I'm not a regular speaker, so everyone has to pay attention because you have to follow. So if I see you nodding your head, I'm going to call on you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So just a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. As we come, presenting ourselves in communion with the saints in the presence of the Lord, may our minds be renewed and may our minds be enlightened by your word. So we will understand what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Praise the Lord. So for today's session, I like to, I'm one of those that, you know, like to talk about the practical aspect of the word. God gave us his word, not just to memorize it, to know it, to recite it. To recite it is good, as if you recite it, hopefully you can put it into practice. So I do like to touch on the practical aspects of the word. So today our discussion is going to go in that flow, where we talk about practicability of the word. We live in the world right now. Our aspiration is for a higher place. But right now we're here, so what that means is all the stuff we learn in the word of God is about using it in our daily lives, impacting onto others what we've learned from the word. When Jesus came, all the action he took was to teach us how to live, how to walk in faith. Praise the Lord. So today, our topic will be excelling in our daily lives as God's anointed. We are anointed children of God. Jesus left and he imparted onto us his spirit to guide us in all our action. How we spend our daily lives, how we spend our time, how we spend our finances, what we use the talents that he gave us to do. The goods that he's given us. He gave us the Holy Ghost to guide us, to teach us, to lead us. So today we'll just touch on a few aspects and see how we can improve or how we can utilize it to impact everyone around us, improve our own daily life. So at the end of the day, God will say, well, well done. Good job. Our main verse will be from Matthew 25, and we'll read 14 to 30. So if we can put that up, Matthew 25, and we won't read everything because it's a long session, but we'll touch on a few verses. So verse 14 there says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And then he went on his journey. Now, I mean, this we can liken to our own lives, right? So if we go back to verse 15, so he gave every man according to his ability. One he gave 5, one he gave 2, one he gave 1. Obviously, he says several. So he gave everybody, I mean, I think 3 were highlighted here, but he said to every man. So he gave several people. So we can enlighten it to our own lives. When Jesus came, he left. The Holy Spirit came. God created us. We're here. We're born. He's given each and every one of us abilities. Now, as you get older, you begin to realize what your abilities are, or you aspire to learn it. But he gave everyone, and then he went on his journey. So the way I look at it is God came and then he's gone on his own journey. You know, Jesus gave this parable and he said, in the kingdom of heaven, right? So he's talking about God, right? So he's given each and every one of us ability. Then God went on his journey. I mean, I don't know what journey he went, but he went on his journey and he said, okay, I've given you all these goods or resources or whatever. Do something with it. If you notice there, he didn't tell them what to do. He gave them stuff and then he moved on. If we can jump to verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came back and then he called them. So the master went on his journey and then he came back. So we can enlighten it that in the future, at some point, whether when we, when Jesus comes, the rapture, or when we are transfigured, or when we pass on to the next phase of life, the master comment and then he reckon it. So he said, okay, what did you do with the goods I've given you? We can go to verse 20. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained these 5 talents more. So somehow those guys knew, which in our own daily lives, you know, you go to school, you do all this stuff, is to improve, to work on stuff. So the one came and said, Lord, this is what I did with the stuff you've given me. And the master said, in verse 21, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Again, it's not just a story, right? It's something we have to bring to our daily lives. So really, I mean, the summary is everything you do, every day you get up, all the plans you make is to bring forth a reward, to bring forth a fruit. Praise the Lord. Now we'll go to verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you have not strawed. So, you know, when I read this, I'm like, So God actually expects us to, because this guy knew the servant, and you will see that the master confirmed, say, yeah, so you know I'm like this, I'm a hard man. What did you do with what I gave you? But he said, I was afraid. Firstly, there are so many verses in the Bible that says, do not be afraid. So one thing in our life, this guy was afraid. He was afraid. Maybe we can apply it. If you're sick, do not be afraid. If coronavirus, do not be afraid. If you get lost from your job, do not be afraid. If your children have issues, do not be afraid. Because once you let fear come in, you become like this guy. So he said he hid the talent in the earth. And then he said, so this is what you gave me here. Let's go on. And the master answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. So you know I'm like this. And I get where I don't reap stuff and all this. And you just came and I gave you one thing. And after so many years, after all the years of our life, we just show up and like, okay, here I am. If we go on to the next verse, let's see what he says. He says, so therefore, you should have put my money to the exchangers. So he should have done something so there will be interest. So he should have done something. Even if he wasn't going to work, he should have taken an action. So the master says, I may not be the greatest preacher. I may not be, you know, the fanciest guy. I may not have all the wherewith to do so many great things, but I have to do what? Do something. I have to try. I have to try. So this goes out to all of us. We have to keep constantly trying. Whether it's reading the word, whether it's how we relate to our neighbors, whether it is forgiving people, whatever, we have to try in the power of the Lord. The difference between this guy and us is the Lord has given us his Holy Spirit, who is our helper. So we can always revert back to that. Even the prior messages that we've learned, people saying they are hurt and all that, we can go back to the power, to the Holy Ghost, and ask him, help us. If you're listening online, help us. If anything that you're having difficulty with, You don't have to do it on your own. Go to the Holy Ghost. Go to the Spirit. Go on your knees. Ask the Father to help you. Because he will help you. That's why he gave us the Spirit of the Lord. The guys that took care of their... So the impact or how we relate to our own self also relates to how we take care of our finances, right? How we take care of the things that have been given unto us. So the goods apply to many things. Applies to your children, your health, your job. We have to constantly, in this country, at the job, you get a new job. Yeah, sometimes you go through like a honeymoon period where you get, you know, trained. But still, most times you can go into a job and like, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. Get on with it. Right? So guess what? We put effort into it to reap reward. But the Lord has given us his word. He's given us his Holy Ghost. So we do have so many things that will help us in achieving God's goals for us. Amen? Amen. So the abilities, the goods that the Father has given us for this message, we're going to just kind of address three items, which is one, how we utilize our time. Secondly, how we utilize the treasure, which you can say is like what our finances. And then how we utilize our abilities, what we do with our abilities. So we'll jump to time. Time is an infinite resource. It's the way it's put. So it's a resource that we don't get back. A lot of times, you know, from when you're a young child, we think we have all the time in the world. Then the next thing, boom, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50. You're like, where did all this time go? So time is not something that we can gain back. So every single day we get up, we should ask ourselves, what do we do with our time? What does the Bible tell us to do with our time? How do we utilize our time? For that, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you work circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let's also look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Time is precious. Redeeming the time. Let's also check what Proverbs, because Proverbs is one of those, is the one, personally for me, it's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. So it's always good to touch on Proverbs and see what it says there. So let's look at Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. So I mean, I think, so the thoughts, so the actions of the diligent lead to fruitfulness. So think back on that one servant, right? His thought wasn't diligent. So guess what? He didn't give any reward. Now to everyone that is hasty, so this also cautions us, and we'll touch on this later on. If you're hasty, for those who want to do quick rich scheme or any of that, or who want to bypass, or we don't pray, we don't do self, we don't read the word of God, it becomes a little hard. Anybody who tries to do things the shortcut way get into trouble. So, as you know, for all of us, especially the young ones, there's no get-rich-quick game out there. We have to be diligent. We have to be wise. Let's also look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the earth. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, simply, that guy had to plant what was given him, and he will get reward because there is a time for everything. So if there's a time to plant, if there's a time to go to school, if there's a time to focus, this is the time for the young ones. For the parents, a time to raise your child, a time to put the effort. This is the time. For the elderly ones, a time to provide guidance, to provide wisdom, to share your knowledge. There is a time and phase for every action in life. Now, it's for us, the challenge is to figure out what that time is for. What are we using our time? How do we use our time? For example, time we come to church, right? What do we come to church for? Some of us, if you think in retrospect, what do you come for? Some of us come to get edified, to get refreshed. You've had a long week, you've been beat down, and then you come to church to recharge. The praise session lifts you up. The word lifts you up. You get energized to take on the new week. Amen? But I got to ask ourselves, what is our purpose? Anybody who comes to church and their purpose is not in line with what the Word of God says, to come for fellowship, to come to nourish themselves. If you do that, then you open yourself up to getting hurt. Because your focus is on personal dealings. Oh, this person said this, this person did this. What do we use our time for? As children of God, do we spend our time gossiping? Tearing somebody down? When we're in school, for the young ones, when it's class session, do we spend our time passing notes, chit-chatting, skipping class? What do we use our time? There's a time for everything. We have to spend our time to edify. Remember, these are the goods that the Master has given us. What do we have to show at the end of the day? It's all about how we utilize. Our time has to be profitable. In that Proverbs 21, it says the diligent, their action lead to plenteousness, to multiplication, to blessings. Because they are diligent to use their time, because you know your time is what? Finite. It is not infinite. So we use our time diligently, and that will lead to plenteousness. For parents, for those of us, for myself, do I make time for my kids? Some people, in the name of the word, we forget something. There's a time for everything. Some people spend all their time at work. No time for their children. We have to get that money. We have to do this. We have to pay bills. But there's a time for everything. And guess what? You let your children be raised by outsiders. People who may not have any inclination of right or wrong, of righteousness or the things of the world. And our children get raised outside the world. Yeah, maybe we bring them to church, but we don't spend that time. Some people will say they spend time, all their time in church. They have to lead so many people and they forget their families. That is not scriptural. We have to dedicate and appropriate our times appropriately. You have to spend time to take your children on trips. I have some family friends who, because of the time they've put into their children, exposing them to several things, those children are excelling. And they also spend time in the world. And they go home, they don't worry that their children will get, you know, corrupted by outsiders, because they've spent that time that is required to get those children well-rounded. That is a challenge for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So as children of God, we should seek to make our time profitable. We should recognize that the goods that He's given to us are precious. They are not goods that we just, okay, you gave me this, I give it back to you. No. You have to put the effort. We have to put the effort. That is the practicability of the word. We cannot know the whole world and not put into action in subtle little ways and expect there to be a reward. Praise the Lord. We also have to put our time to enhancing ourselves. We have to put the time to understand what is going on around. I'm on several WhatsApp groups. I see some things that are forwarded that are of no use to anybody. And what happens is, guess what? We spend time focusing on things that have no bearing or no truthfulness, and we miss spending time enhancing our mind. If you go back to, for example, this last election that we had in this country, Christians were forwarding messages that were very contrary to God's word in WhatsApp groups. And everybody read and everybody spend time. Somebody sent me one from a pastor somewhere that has no bearing to the word of God, that the end of the world is here. Sell everything. Run, go hide in the caves. And Christians were forwarding those things on WhatsApp groups without spending time to understand what the Bible says, without spending time to realize that if we put our time in things that are not scriptural, in things that distract us from the word of God, guess what? We're easily fooled. We have to be wiser than the children of this world. And that means as much as we spend time in the world, we also have to spend time understanding what is going on. There's funny thing, the other day, me and my wife were talking. I was listening to something, and somebody was talking about gene editing. Now, there is debate about it, you know, especially even in the Christian church, people have different views. But one thing the guy said, he said in his family, he talked about his grandmother. His grandmother passed from cancer. The sister passed from cancer. His daughter just passed from cancer, and he has other daughters. And he himself actually got afflicted, I believe. And they spent time to go find out, say, what is going on? And they realized that, guess what? There's a little gene in their DNA or whatever that is causing this to go on. And they sought appropriate treatment. It's still in coming, but there is some technology out there that they were looking for, he's hopeful, that will now go in and remove that gene and remove that, we may say, curse from their family. But when I read that, I talked to my wife and we kind of just laughed and said, you know, even in the Christian world, some of us spend time, we will say, oh, something like this is somebody cursed my family from back in the day and it's coming down. And we bind and cast and do, instead of focusing on understanding what is going on. Now we're in the new age. These are some of the things we need to learn and understand. And what does that do? The truth, when we understand some of these things, it sets us free. Because sometimes Christians are bound by bondage because we think like our forefathers thought 100 years ago. And we don't realize that there is a difference because of our understanding. As we gain understanding, we utilize it in our daily lives. It will free you up rather than all spending time saying we pray, praying for the wrong thing, binding and casting, right? We pray for healing. We pray for knowledge. Learning the word and understanding what is going on leads us to a greater, freer, and enhanced life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do we spend time taking care of our bodies? Right? We talk about setting our body on fire. We talk about getting challenged. But we also have to spend time to make sure this body that God has given us is physically fit. Amen? We have to spend time to understand what we put in our body, what it does to us. It's all scriptural. God told the Israelites certain things, don't eat this, do this, do this, do this. If you study the word, it's all in there. To do what? To enhance, I mean, what does God care? If they eat back in the day, you know, some people still reference that God said, don't eat pig back in the day. There was a reason. He didn't just say it. He made pig, right? There was a reason he said it, right? But he knew back then that those things can hurt them, can make them, you know, become unhealthy. So how do we apply it to our life to enhance our body? We have to spend time in whatever we do. Yes, it may not be easy, but we appropriate our time. Spend time to train yourself, to train your body. Know what you eat, know what you do. Those are all scriptural. Those are all things that we have to show to. We can't do very unhealthy things and then cry unto the master. Master, master, master. We're defeating the purpose. We have to follow and utilize our time appropriately. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now the next thing we'll reach on is the treasures, which is the finances. All that stems from what we do with our time. The blessings God has given us. We may not be born into wealth, but God has blessed each and every one of us with something. Now it's up to us to grow it, maintain it, manage it, don't waste it. Amen? If you waste what God has given you, you can't ask for more. The one servant, he didn't do anything with what God gave him, and we know what the result was. Now we ask ourselves, why did Jesus use that parable? He wants to teach. Jesus used so many parables when he taught the disciples, but he used that one to teach them that there's nothing wrong with managing what you're given, with growing what you're given. As Christians, sometimes we are shy, or we don't believe in success to a certain level. Some things are ingrained, but we have to defeat that purpose. God clearly, the master clearly was displeased with those guys who did not profit with what he had given them, who did not manage what he had given them effectively. Amen? So let's look at, God cautions us against the love of money. So even as I give this, talk on this, in Timothy, if we look at Timothy 6, we can just quickly look at that. It cautions us. Paul was talking to Timothy and cautioned him against the love of money. It says, if we can put that up, please. 1 Timothy 6. Do I need to open it here? Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Yeah, let's roll down. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, which is clothing, let us therefore be content. Go on to 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, which leads you astray. And verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So this again is a caution. In all we do, let us seek righteousness, and let us know that we have to be content. Now, doesn't know where does it say that we do not strive to manage what we're given and grow what we're given. Amen? So, for another day. Also, let us look at Proverbs 10:4. These are some of the things that suggest that the Bible is telling us how to manage ourselves, manage time, and what we do. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Look at verse Luke 14:28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? One more, Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, there's one thing I love that I think pastor and several pastors in the church have also reached out. Do not let yourself be overwhelmed by debt, right? Work to free yourselves from debt, right? So that is critical. If you don't manage the finances you're given, what happened to that servant? We didn't finish it in Matthew 25 there, right? He said one of the punishments he got was because he didn't manage the finances, it was taken from him, right? And was given to the guy that had 5 talents. So young ones, pay attention. What the word says is if you do not manage what you're given, guess what? It will be taken from you. If you do not manage the little you have, you can't grow it, right? Just same thing. if we spend our money buying the fanciest, newest pair of sneakers, right? Or the newest hair extension, what happens? You become broke. So basically, the little that you have is taken from you. It's very scriptural. Right here, I didn't create it. It's right there. So how do we manage our finances? What do we do with it? This is practical Christian living. Now, one thing I learned when I came to this country at first is, well, I learned it later on, so I wish I knew it like much, much earlier. So now some of you have, like the young ones, you guys know some of this, and I hope and I believe your parents are also teaching you. But one thing I learned is, as you get older, even from the pocket money you're giving, you know, I wasn't giving pocket money when I was, you know, except for when I went to school. But some of you are lucky. You're given pocket money, right? Guess what? You begin to save it. Invest it. This is how success is had. Learn finance management. Amen? There's a little trick that some of the wealthy people use in this country is when their children are 20, 21, from 18 or even, they open accounts for them, Roth IRAs account, savings account, stock account. They begin to teach them how to, a lot of senior vice managements and, you know, executive presidents, they get their children involved. They teach them the business of this land. Or even in Nigeria, or wherever anyone is, if you watch those that succeed, they teach their children from a young age. Or they themselves, if they don't have the blessing or the advantage of having people who will teach them, they learn. This is how we improve ourselves. You learn, you read this and you say, the rich ruled over the poor. So it tells you right here, the rich ruled over the poor. Now there are other scriptural verses that, you know, that, so it's not all about based on this, if on wealth or any of those things, because the poor also get a lot of blessings. But Jesus, that guy with one talent, he was poor, and the master wasn't too pleased with him. So let's not think that if you're poor, that you just say, oh God, you know, bless me, blessed are the meek and all that. The rich rule over the poor. And the borrower is the servant to the lender. Use your finances well. For the young ones, once you start working, start putting a little money aside in the bank, right? Learn about the stock market. Again, it's how we utilize our time. Indexing, all those kind of things. Those are things that if you begin at an early age, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the line, the whole goal of our parents to bring us to this country, what is to be better than them, right? To show that reward. So if you have the advantage, it's never too late for any of us, right? Begin to utilize the things you have, the advantages you have, to grow what God has blessed us with. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So just like, I think it was in Proverbs 25, 1 that we read earlier, there is no get-rich scheme out there. 21:5, sorry. Yeah. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, plenty, multiplication. Pay attention, guys. But everyone that is hasty only to want. Anyone that is hasty. As we, you know, and some of this I direct to the younger ones because I saw some of this stuff also. So it's always good to talk about some of these things. I mean, there was a lot of people who would come and say, oh, yeah, let's do this. You know, you get 100% overnight. And guess what? At the end of the day, you get 0%. Or you go negative 100. Or there are people who decide to put their hands in things they shouldn't put their hands. Anything hastily gotten is quickly lost. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, to wrap this final session up, let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen? So we always, in all we do, and how we manage our finances should be in line with God's word. If we use our time judiciously, appropriately, spend it in the word of the Lord, then we are what? Working according to the kingdom of God. Working like Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a master who gave his guys certain goods, resources. So these are our goods. So we're just touching on three goods today, which is one, yes, our time, how we utilize our time, our finances, that what? When the master comes, we have something to show him. We show him that, yes, our time was utilized. The precious children that you gave us, we train them. We spend time with them. The word of God that you gave us, we listened to it. We understood it. We impacted the gifts that is in here and the knowledge that is in here to the people around us. Amen? So also look at Matthew 6, 19, 20, just to reinforce this. Matthew 6, say, lay not up for yourselves treasured on earth where destruction can happen and it will corrupt and thieves will steal it and all that stuff, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven where none of this will touch it and it will never be stolen. Praise the Lord. So in all we do first is to what? Commit our lives to Jesus. To commit our lives to the Master. Say, I am yours, Lord. And build your treasures in heaven, which, yes, we've learned by always sharing the word of God, by how we live our life. Sometimes you may not even witness to someone, but just how you carry yourself, what you do daily. How, you know, I had a guy, my job, for example, we had some guy. We had somebody who's been working with us for a while, and then we hired some other guy. Now, this other guy comes, and he's a more brash guy, and every other word from his mouth is, you know how some people talk. Now, we have this other guy in our office who always comes and he talks the Bible. He professes. When we talk, he's always professing the word and all that. Now, I get reports when I'm in my office from other guys who go out that, hey, this other guy that is, you know, like this, when he's in the field, this guy, the other guy that is always, you know, is now influencing him. And he can't control his tongue. He's trying to please or be, you know, in the clique with this guy. And it was very disappointing. So I had to call him and say, hey, you profess to be a child of God. You come and you talk to me and we talk as children of God. And what is going on in the field? What are you doing? When none of us are there, you don't know the right. And he's not a younger guy. He's an older guy. But the pressures, so he wants to belong. So he's like, yeah, let's do this. And he's talking. So if you're in the field, you have no clue where he stands. Let that not be us. Amen? The good thing is when I spoke to him, he confessed and he was contrite about it. And he said, yes, even his wife had to caution him. Like, what are you representing? Are you trying to please those out there? What do we do when we're in school? And I was in school here. I know how it is. Well, how do you handle it? We have to impact those. Now, this guy that is with an uncontrolled tongue, when he talks to me, he knows how to talk. Because he knows I don't entertain that. Right? So we have to, by how we live our life, yes, even when I was in school here, people who talk like that know when they talk to me, you got to tone it down because we're not going to flow in that. Let that be how we communicate. Let us not let others, but let us influence them. Because by that influence, they will now seek and ask what it is that we have in us. Because they clearly will see the difference. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now the last talent, you know, or resource or good that we'll look at is the abilities God has blessed us with. And these abilities, there are spiritual abilities that God has blessed us, and there are also physical abilities. There's mental abilities. There are so many abilities that God has given us. The end goal and the whole point I hope that we'll take from this is, what do we do with that? How do we utilize it? Do we impact those around us? Do we teach those around us? What do we use with the gifts and blessings God has given us? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll just quickly read 7 to 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Holy Spirit, to another faith, right? To another gifts of healing, right? To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, which is, you know, to another given speaking in tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, right? But all these worketh by the same and one Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let's also look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. Verse 28, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. So jump to 28. And then, so this is also talking about the different resources, goods, gifts, however you may interpret it, that God has given us. To some, he's given to be great ministers, singers. On the other day, my wife showed me what our brother Ike, he had his, there was a band. So if you check it out, I saw something on YouTube that was beautiful, right? So God has blessed him with that. God has blessed some to be ministers, apostles, prophets, teachers. After that, people who God will use to do miracles. Then gifts of healing, help, right? Help to be helper. So I don't have to be a preacher. I can be a helper. I can help sweep. I can do so many things. I can, you know, my gifts may be to raise good children, right? That will be presidents, right? Help governments, diversities of tongues. So each and every one of us are called to different things. But we are all, if you read 1 Corinthians 12, if you read it all the way through, it talks about that we're the body of Christ, right? Each and everyone has a different role, you know. There's the hand, there's the toe. If you try just going one day, right, take a hammer and smash your littlest toe, you'll realize quickly that little toe that looks like it's useless, that it does have some use, right? So every single one of us has a purpose. We're all in the body of Christ, and we do have a purpose. Now, we have to do what? It's not just knowing that we have a purpose. It's what do we do with that purpose? So that's what we should all remember. What do we do with what God has given us? We're the body of Christ, right? We're not just the body of Christ inside the church, because we're the body of Christ outside. That's where you have the most impact. What you do with your life, how you impact those around you. That is the biggest impact. Yes, inside the church, we impact each other, we strengthen each other, we edify each other, we listen, because an apostle is there for a reason, right? A preacher is there for a reason. A teacher is there for a reason. Those that sing, that lead the praise worship, are here for a reason, to edify, to uplift. You don't know who's had a rough week, right? And they come, and then the song may not do anything to me, right? I may sing, but someone else may sit there and the words of the song ring differently into them, right? It edifies them, it lifts them up, right? Like we said, everyone, you have to search what you use your time. Why do you come? If you come to get edified, to listen, to get filled and refreshed, then we listen to the song, because it may be a song that if you don't, you may miss that blessing, right? So the ministers, the minister, the singers, everyone, the ones that help, you know, Paul, for example, that carries the mic, everyone, that's a blessing at each time, right? Now, God can promote you to different roles as you advance in our Christian work, right? So that's why we're from babies and we eat solid food, and by understanding the word, when we grow, right? So Paul groomed Timothy to grow, right? So the young ones may become the ministers of tomorrow. They can become the apostles. They can become what? The governors, right? The presidents, right? If we parents spend time raising our children and teaching them and impacting them, the confidence. In America especially, in especially at least what I know, this country, you have to have confidence. And confidence begins where? At home. So we have to, parents, put the time to inspire confidence into our children. Now, that will now help them get into the role and use the good, the resource that is inherent in them, that God wants them to use, whether it's to lead the country, to do whatever, to help each other. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now also, you know, we'll touch on, there's the ability, right? There's physical ability. So God has blessed several people. You know, if you can sing very well, you know, don't brush it under the rug. Like our brother did, he's utilizing it to reach out there. You can also utilize it to grow yourself, grow your family, right? If you sing very well, grow it, right? Use it to bless those around you. Use it to spread the gospel. If you are a sprinter, if you can run very fast, use it. Because guess what? If you win the Olympics, you can use that avenue, that pulpit, to further enhance the word. Maybe by you just excelling in what God has blessed you with, you may not even have to do the preaching. But you know, for example, in this country, the media likes so many things. When they see that this person who is this top person in this position is leading their life in the word of the Lord, they will talk about it, and you don't know whose life you will impact. Amen? Now, going back to even the blessings or the gifts we have in the church, it talks about using it to the fullest capacity. Whether it's enhancing, using the ministry of healing, right? Whether it's speaking in tongues. What do we use the ability God has given us? Use it in the right purpose. Don't use it to show off. Many a man have fallen, right? Because they believe that the ability God has given them is inherently, especially spiritual abilities, is inherently theirs, their power. They've done it. And what happens? They fall. It becomes a hindrance to their growth. So as much as we understand to enhance what God has given us, we should always, and we can always encourage people. You can see things in people. You can encourage somebody and then also remind people, right, as Christians, whether in the church here, whether outside. See, always remember that your gift, your blessing is from God, because the Master gave it to you. And then he went on his journey. But, you know, we know when Jesus gave this parable, when he used that parable, he hadn't left, right? So the Holy Ghost wasn't here, right? So we know the Holy Ghost is here now with us, right? So he's always, so the Master didn't really leave. So, you know, just so we clarify, he is here with us. But in the context of what we're reading here, think about it that for like the kids, right? Like sometimes your parents will leave and travel, right? And you're home by yourself. You know, you see on movies, hey, it's time for a party. What do you do, right? So all of us, we're young ones, we understand how that is. So think about it. The Master has left. I'm here by myself. What do I do? Do I follow the righteousness, and do I utilize what he's left to grow and to reap greater rewards? Or do I utilize it for selfish endeavors? And may that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Some of the other blessings and gifts I've given us, obviously, is being patient, being long-suffering, you know, being encouraging. Those are little things that we should never forget, but that we should amplify. We have to show patience, whether it's at work, right? Because if you're patient with people, that draws them to what is in you. If you're long-suffering, that if you show love, if we go back to 1 Corinthians 13:13, no, 13:13, and it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. the greatest is love. In another, you know, word, charity, love. What did Jesus tell his disciples when they asked him? I think I wrote that when they asked him, what is the greatest commandment, right? And he said, the greatest commandment is to what? And what? And love your neighbor as yourself. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, we will see the gift. We will see that they are a blessed child of God and will encourage them, right? And then they themselves might grow the talent, the good that God has given them as we grow ourselves. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in summary, our goal should be what? Look at Matthew 25:21. And the Lord said unto him, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Amen. May that be our portion. David, you ask, you know, we talk about David. He was faithful in the little things, right? In the little farm or in the little forest, wherever he was tending the flocks. He was faithful in that. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my blessing. And God promoted him, right? May that be our portion. As we live our lives, let's always keep remembering that the word of the Lord is for practical purposes. It's not just to cram in our head, right? We can cram it all, we can know the word, but if we do not use it, if we do not practice it in our actual daily lives, then our faith is what? Dead. Right? We have to bring our faith to life. We have to live it. We have to show it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May this verse be our portion. Amen. Amen. Praise Him. You can come up.